Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm The Other Mark. 3 pints Sally, and what are you having?
Yeah, get me a Mai Tai.
Cheers, I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
Are we all right?
Yes.
All good, right.
All good, yeah. You? Yeah.
Marvellous, me, yeah.
Good.
Marvellous. Marvellous. Thank you.
Listen, before we get into stuff, I just want to say... No, it's not
normally,
part...
when he starts or something like that, he's going to go into a rant.
Where have you been?
No, it's not part two.
Have you been on a train?
No, not since. So, obviously, I've been on a tuk-tuk, Ivan. Oh, a plane. So, obviously, the Filipino episode, what I sort of shared with you all last time,
yeah.
We've had some fantastic feedback from it, really good comments, some good emails, some good messages, posts on his Facebook, and it's been really positive. So, nice. I personally, because I know how we're talking about my adventure, I just personally want to say to all these people that sort of written into us and stuff, a big thank you, because it's warmed my little heart. And it's been great. I know you guys have all seen the comments too, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's been fantastic. So thank you to all listeners out there. I mean, I'd love to name them all, but I can't name them all.
And he'd get the names wrong anyway.
Exactly, but they know who they are and they're big fans. So thank you.
Absolutely. And the thing is, what's really funny, guys, is the amount of comments that we've had saying how funny it is, and I can't emphasize enough how Mark has absolutely no idea that it was funny.
He just doesn't get it, almost like sitting there going,
I don't know what everyone's finding funny.
I'm just telling my little story. You guys loved it.
It was absolutely brilliant. But I don't know about loved it.
I had to shave twice.
It went on, didn't it?
Yeah.
But while we're talking about that, though, I am going to take the opportunity, as I do. Guys, your support is fantastic in general. And if you really want to support us podcast, please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, whether it's Amazon or, YouTube or...
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, whatever. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you like. Drop comments. You can drop comments on Spotify on individual episodes. Leave a review. Visit our website. We've got a cracking website, www.thechatin.com. We've still got some cups available. So there's a lot of people...
Push the cups!
There's a lot of people that say, do you know what? Great podcast, that we're loving it. And, it's absolutely great. And it really does warm us heart that we sit here, we talk crap, and people are actually enjoying it. It's brilliant because we enjoy doing it. But honestly, truly, if you do want to support us, if you do thinking, I really do want to support you, then they're the little things you can do.
Literally. Buy a cup.
Yeah.
Have us in your kitchen.
Yeah, buy a cup.
Have us in your living room.
Yeah, or just that like or review. It just helps. It helps get subscribers and it helps other people in the world be able to access our podcast.
Why did I think of Peter Kay then coming in your ears? I don't know why I thought of that then.
I don't know. But yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Well, thanks for that.
And you did. All
right. I did.
Yeah.
I did. With confidence as well.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I'm going to have to say it. Have any of you watched the new Netflix series that's come out?
Squid Games.
Is that what you're talking about?
Adolescence. Have you had a chance yet?
Absolutely.
Never heard of it.
Give over.
It's everywhere, isn't it?
It is everywhere.
I never look at Facebook, but I imagine Facebook's just full of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't help.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you put a post on, didn't you?
Have you seen it, Mark?
Well, I know I've heard a lot about it, and you guys tell me about it.
Yes or no?
Well, I've only watched one episode.
Oh, you've watched one episode?
One episode.
Don't say with the fourth one.
Hold on. What I don't get is, and I am hoping you're going to correct me on this, but how on earth can you watch one episode of that and not say, I'm going to watch the next one?
Because he's far too busy.
He was taking his beans in his cupboard.
Well, I only watched it last night.
Oh, right.
I've not watched the second episode because Dana then fell asleep, as she does. So,
are you excited to watch the next episode?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes. So you enjoyed it?
I've loved it. I thought it was great. Falls asleep.
You make it sound like she's got narcolepsy.
She could stay in bed early. So she didn't get through that episode, to be fair. So I've only watched one, and I've enjoyed it.
I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Can I just add, you're not going to give anything away, are you?
Yes, I'm not. Probably.
Please don't, because I've not seen it.
Probably.
Can I sit this one out?
No, don't worry. We'll not make too many spoilers.
Please don't.
Not that Mark's already not anyway. So, for me, what blows my mind is the filmmaking production of this programme. It is just sensational for me. I've probably got halfway through episode one and thought, I'm going to have to come back and rewatch this because I've not really followed what the story is. All I'm doing is working out how are they getting this camera round.
Well,
this,
you know, a girl got stabbed in it, so have you not been following the story?
Yeah, I got all that.
Okay.
It's just, I'm obviously just blown away by how they make it, because obviously that's kind of, it's just what I'm into.
Filmmaking.
Really into it. So I just sit watching the whole thing going, how are they doing that? They must be doing that. They'll be doing that for that, and that for that, for that for that. But it's just amazing, let alone the programme alone.
I just want to reassure all us listeners, by the way, that we're not turning into a TV critics podcast.
No, absolutely not.
We're not going to start every podcast with, have you seen? Yeah. But we can't not talk about it at the minute. I mean, it's absolutely everywhere. I did exactly the same, Rob. I was sat watching it. Because, again, those who don't know, and don't worry, it's not a spoiler, Marco. Okay. You should have noticed in episode one that each episode is shot in real time. Which means there's no cuts, there's no takes, there's no multiple cameras. No. They literally start rolling, and that's what it is. I'm quite sure there'll have been times when they made a mistake and had to start again. And I'm sure once they got past halfway, everyone were crossing their fingers going, we really don't want to start again.
I actually know the answer to that.
I thought you would do.
Yeah. Episode one was done on the second take.
Wow.
Talking about, what I do know is that episode three was the first episode filmed.
Correct. Oh, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's correct. I've not seen it, but
apparently they were.
What I want to know is who spent the longest rehearsing? Was it the cast or the crew?
Oh, the crew.
Because they must have spent weeks, months or whatever rehearsing those.
I imagine it would have been
the cameras
around
and getting,
because they're just separate. The crew must have been filming their movements, and the actors will have been because it's in real time.
Can you imagine when they were like? I don't know what they do for cameramen, as in the audition. But they'll need five. They only need one cameraman. Oh, that's a bit. Because there's only one. Literally, there's only one cameraman, isn't there?
There's multiple camera operators.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's only one camera. But I think they move on to. They're drone on something and it passes on.
It's all the same. They load the camera into the drone, don't they?
Or something like that, yeah.
Because episode four, I'm not going to spoil it for you, Mark. Episode four, the camera travels on a different vehicle. The way they even do that was pretty seamless, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing with that, I can't even say because it's not ruining anything. The vehicle's not being driven by the driver.
Nope.
No, that's not spoiling it for me.
That's just
they do in TV.
But all the other episodes, 2, 3, 4, were all canned on the 10th take.
Really?
So, and you imagine? Can you imagine getting to the 54th minute and someone going, "Forgot my line"? Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh no!
Look, I think I think it's. I mean, you know, I've always liked Stephen Graham as an actor.
Me too.
I think he's brilliant. But what I didn't know, and I don't know whether he's done it.
Wait, he's a Scouse.
I don't know whether he's done it in any previous programs, but he obviously wrote and created this.
Yes, with his wife.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. He was that talented in that side of things.
Well, it's his wife's the writer for many UK dramas.
Oh, really? Really?
She's the one that wrote A Thousand Blows, which is currently on Disney Plus. She's in it as well, as well as she's in Adolescence.
Yeah.
So she wrote that, and she. So I think he's obviously used that as a. And they wrote it together, didn't they? And he's been playing more of a producer role. Although I did see on the credits. It's produced by Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, yeah, yeah. One of the exec producers.
I saw that.
Just means he paid for it.
Yeah, he's put money up.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just didn't know if it was just a bloke from Yorkshire that just also just happens to be called Brad Pitt.
That's not going to be Brad Pitt. I thought that would be somebody guy called Brad Pitt. Yeah, that's but is it really?
Netflix.
Is it Brad Pitt?
I don't know.
I know. I was thinking, really?
Is it Brad?
I honestly don't know.
Or is it some bloke from Barnsley that's just happened to be?
You don't know. Maybe they've gone to Netflix and said, "I've got an idea," and they've gone, "I need some money," and they've got a number of people. Well, and Brad Pitt might be one of them. You don't know.
I did watch on because again, they're all talking about this sort of program. I watched on Newsnight afterwards because they were talking to some lads, teenage lads, about it. And the other writer, because there's two writers, there's obviously what's his name?
Stephen Graham.
Yeah, it's because he's got two first names. It confuses me.
Yeah,
Stephen and Graham. Make your mind up. get a surname. Don't have two first names. And it's co-writer on there, and they were saying it's number one in like hundreds of countries.
I'm not surprised.
It's massive.
not only is it very well made.
Jack Thorne.
What, he's the other writer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only is it well made, the fact of the boundaries that they've had to push, the out-of-the-box thinking to make the film, as with single-shot cameras, it pulls you in anyway. It makes you feel, that's why they do it, makes you feel as though you're part of the action, if you like. It almost like tricks your brain that you forget you're watching a program.
Yeah.
And combine that with some phenomenal acting. I mean, to think that young boy,
Owen Cooper,
was that his name?
Yeah,
he knows all the names tonight, doesn't he, Mark?
I watched it. I loved it.
Yeah,
13 years old.
Yeah, and that was his first ever acting job.
Yeah,
that they pinched him from a workshop, as in like they had audition workshops.
He plays a 13-year-old. He's not 13, is he?
Is he not? I don't know how old he is.
Oh, how old is he?
I don't know.
He's either 14 or 15. I think. I mean, that's by the by. Okay. That age, with no acting experience whatsoever.
And then when I heard that the third episode was the first one that they shot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the acting from him in episode 3 was phenomenal.
It was.
Can I ask? So I knew they shot episode 3 first, but is there a reason why? I mean, I know they don't always shoot things concurrently, but
I'm guessing
is there something to do with his acting or his role?
I'm going to guess, Mark, that if he didn't nail it, then they aren't going to waste him as an actor on any of the others.
Oh, yeah.
It would make sense.
Well, I don't know what happened in episode 3 because I've not seen it.
Get out of the can.
And there's an actress in episode 3. She might not have been available for the other show.
Because
she's only in that episode, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know, do we?
And thinking about it now, I've only watched it once up to now, but thinking about the scenes that were in it, it was probably one of the easier episodes.
It was all in one room, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was all in
pretty much all in one room. So
okay,
so maybe that's, but we don't know, of course.
That episode, I don't know if you remember the film, it reminded me of Primal Fear.
Yes,
I
said to Ellen, it's an old film, early 90s.
Mm. Yeah,
and I said to Ellen, I went, it feels like Primal Fear.
It's pretty much two-handed for the most part of it, isn't it?
It just, yeah, just how it was so, I don't know, it was personal and then chilling at the same time. It was really, really chilling, wasn't it? Don't want to ruin it, Mark.
I'm excited to watch it.
Honestly can't think how at the next big awards ceremony, although timeline wise in how these things normally work, anything that's released now would never be considered by that point because they just pretty much write them off. Mm. You're too early for the awards season to have.
Really?
Yeah. No, well, normally, because things
pretty
come
much
out.
It's a year away.
And they've all just happened, haven't they? So it's a year until the next awards and things will come out. Someone could copy this and like the one shot thing and do it just before the awards ceremony. But I just think it would be a crime if this thing doesn't clear out the awards.
Oh,
for me, newcomer will be Owen Cooper, and best actor will be Stephen Graham, because his performance, I only watched episode four last night and I cried my eyes out at the end of that. I was a wreck. I had tears streaming down my face, because showing it from the angle that it does.
Yeah.
Normally you only see this from the victim's side.
Don't give anything away. Don't spoil it. You're creeping down that road.
No, because you'll know so far, Mark, that it's very much looking it from that family's perspective rather than the girl who stabs side. They are looking at it from this side.
It's just really clever, isn't it? How it covers almost all the emotions.
Yeah.
All the frames of mind that they go through from, you know. It's just...
I thought that episode 4 was slower than the rest, but it became almost one of my favourites because it just the way that they took hold of that.
Well,
him, Stephen Graham.
Well, this is going to be really hard to say it without spoiling anything. By the way, there's no big plot twist, by the way, Mark. So
I'm going to say, do we know who stabs the girl at the end?
There's no big plot twist. But I don't know how to say this without... Because don't forget the whole premise of why Stephen Graham wanted to create this was from the parents' point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the whole premise of it.
Mm.
So the fact that the end episode did slow right down and became about them two, that was what the whole, if you like, the other three episodes
were leading to. Yeah.
You know. Okay. So, I look, I could talk about it all day long, me, because, I mean, even when we start thinking about, how difficult, for instance, one-shot filming is, you know, but then to go into a school...
Mm.
And capture all that feeling, and do you know what I mean? Throughout the program, I almost felt anxious in places. I felt angry in places. I felt sad. I felt, you know, just all these things that you feel, and it's purely from how it's made.
Yeah,
how it's made. It's just, yeah.
You know the guy who played the detective? Did you know he was in So Solid Crew?
Yes.
Yeah.
Asher D.
Yes. I want to know his
name.
The
black guy.
Yeah.
He was called Asher
D. The detective,
He was called Asher D in So Solid Crew. He was called Ashley Walters.
Does he do any rapping in it?
No.
Does he
know? I couldn't help but think whether any stagehands or filming crew were next to him counting down clock to that end and going, 21 seconds to go. Just 21 seconds to go.
There must have been somebody on set saying, whispering that to him, surely. Yeah.
Well, Mark's looking at me as if to say, that were horrendous, Rob.
It were.
They're only as bad as Mark's jokes.
I thought it were marginally better. Go on.
Do your Jesus joke. Go on, do that one, because that's your best one yet.
Oh,
do it again.
There was one part of it that I've not looked it up since, but I got a bit lost with it, and it was, you know when... I can't ruin it because of him. But I'm just going to say, Mark, sorry. They mentioned that not ISIS. That's going to be completely different.
That's something completely different.
Summit.
Incel.
That incel, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that because I don't really know what that is.
Okay, well, this opens a can of worms.
Yeah.
Do
you know what it is?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't even know that a red heart means love. A purple heart means you're horny and want a bit.
Mm-hmm.
A yellow heart means friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And a blue heart means... I don't know what that one was.
I think there's a whole world out there, especially with messaging, instant messaging, social media, forums, groups, that we don't have a clue about simply because of our age.
Yeah.
You know... When I listen sometimes to how my kids talk, never mind anything else, or the way that they message me, and sometimes I have to like double check with Daisy or whatever it is, a bit younger than me, but be able to, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does bear sick mean?
Do you know what I mean? So I think
it means an animal has vomited all over itself.
But obviously the whole program is designed to highlight this situation, would you say, Mark?
Me?
Other one?
Well, that's what Stephen Graham said his influence came from, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that there's clearly something going off in the real world that's worrying, I suppose. A trend of, you know, misogyny, I suppose. And I wouldn't say... Well, I suppose it is probably anti-feminism, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
And pro-masculism.
Pro-masculism, that's the word I was looking for. Oh, yeah. So, okay. And this is, this is, you know, where you, these bloody, and I can't stand them. And I listened to them on telly the other day when they've been bloody moved to Florida. Bloody Tate Brothers. And obviously they reference them in programme, don't they?
Yeah.
And with the pseudo-American accents, you know, are the English, are the American, are the Romanian?
Yeah, because they're English, aren't they?
Yeah.
And are they English?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're on Big Brother.
Right.
And did you just...
As a celebrity or just as a normal person?
As a normal person, right. Celebrity, yeah.
You see him walking around getting interviewed, smoking on a cigar. Do you know what I mean? Like the Hannibal from A-Team or something. And you're like... Do you know what I mean? And it's like, who do you
That's
think...
That's a very retro.
Well, exactly, but you're like, who do you think... Who's walking around smoking a cigar? Mm. And it's only for perception.
Of course.
It's all it's for.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep. Just to clear up, he was on Big Brother, but he got kicked out.
Kicked out.
Removed him from the show.
What's wrong with that, Andrew? Or is it
Andrew?
Christian.
I think Christian's brother's even more annoying than Andrew. Yeah. So I'll be honest.
So really? Before it was him that was talking the other day, and I was like, honestly, just makes me skin crawl and makes me blood boil.
So before we go into them tools, so stick a pin in it for a second.
Yeah.
Just going back to what Rob asked about incel.
Yeah. I'm going to say,
so, do you know what it is?
No, you've not told me.
Okay, so do you know, I didn't know whether you, what you were saying was you didn't know what it were, and now you've researched
it. I don't even know what the acronym stands for. Is it an acronym? Is that an acronym?
I always get mixed up where, it's an abbreviation.
It's an abbreviation. It is an acronym, because it's two words merged into one intake.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, so is that class as an abbreviation? Because isn't an abbreviation of is not. So I suppose it is an abbreviation. It's not a series.
I always get mixed up. It's not a series of words.
It's just two words.
Mark's glazed.
Sandwich slammed together.
Mark's glazed over.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Has he got a comma?
Mark can't even say acronym.
acronym.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so as far as I'm aware, and by the way, I just want to put a disclaimer out there, we can talk about this, but none of us are experts
around it. Absolutely not experts.
I'm definitely not. I don't even know what it stands for.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I believe it stands for involuntary celibacy.
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have heard of that.
So basically, it's men that believe that they are... Not getting sex.
Yeah.
And it's the woman's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what it is. It's bloody blokes, and I suppose kids to a huge degree, they're getting played on their insecurities.
Mm. Mm.
Do you know that if you're single, it's because the women don't fancy you because you're too placid, you're too passive. You're ugly, you're this, that, and the other. You need to take them by the bull by the horns, and you need to be this, and you need to be forceful, and you need to be aggressive, and you need to... And it's like, what? Mm. Really?
Yeah. Mm. And this is where I suppose it links them back in to the Tate Brothers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because
it is them.
This is what they champion, and this is what they... It's all about the masculinity, the as men, as males, you are the alpha. You are the alpha. And you can only be the alpha if you behave and think like an alpha.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, a man's not a man unless they go to the gym and work out. Or they should be trained in fighting, you know, and stuff like that. They should hold themselves a certain way. And what that message is plowed through is if you behave like that, if you act like that, then you will feel better about yourself. And when you feel better about yourself, you will look better to other people.
Women will throw themselves at you.
Yeah. And if they don't, that's their problem, not yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I don't have a problem with the sort of a men being men type thing. I don't see there's nothing wrong with, like, you could sit gym and work out and be assertive, you know, and that I don't have a problem with. It's the steps over the line when, like you just said, when you blame women for it, or you blame other people for it, because you can only blame yourself if you're not.
But do you not? But do you not think that if we start talking about going to the gym, working out, having confidence, being assertive,
but they're good things. I see these as good things.
They are, but they're not just masculine things.
No.
A woman can do that too.
A female can do that too.
So therefore it's not about masculinity and feminism. Or femininity, is that a word?
Femininity. Well, it is now, you just said it.
Masculinity and femininity? Because feminism is a movement, isn't it? Yeah, feminism is a... Anyway, but what I'm saying is that going to the gym, working out, whatever, being fit, being healthy, having self-confidence, having self-belief, having a high self-esteem is nothing to do with masculinity. That can be male or female.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a recording of one of them, bloody... What did he say it's called? Tristan, or whatever his name is.
His brother.
Is it Tristan or Christian?
I don't know. To be honest, I'm not particularly interested in knowing what his first name is.
There's a
recording of him saying something about enslaving his girlfriend or his wife or something. Mm. It's like, what?
Yeah.
They're not here to serve you. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know.
It's a relationship's a mutual... I don't want to make it sound too formal. It's a mutual contract. You're together because you both love each other. You both, you know, respect each other, trust each other, love each other and everything else, you know. It's not because you've got control over them. Well, it shouldn't be.
I completely agree with you, but I think there's also a fine line between... obviously, certain cultures behave differently in relationships and marriages and stuff like that. And we can't say that our Western culture, the way it is at the moment, is the right way, end of story, and everyone else is wrong. What I would say it crosses a line is when both parties aren't in agreement to what that relationship is.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of other cultures out there where the female... I don't know whether I can use this word, but plays the subservient role. But that is their culture. Mm. You know, and we are nobody to say that is incorrect. If that's their culture and that's what they're born into and bred into, then that's up to them, if you like. Mm. As long as both parties are in agreement that's how they want to live their life. Mm. I think the problem comes when it crosses the line into it being forced upon others.
Yeah.
That by behaving a certain way, acting a certain way, that it gives you this entitlement.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think, certain things that Andrew Tate said, certain things I'm on board with, right? I'm not a lover of him, but he has a lot of old-fashioned views, and I know straight away you can go, well, they're old-fashioned, so that's a problem. But like, you know, for example, he says a man should open a door for a woman and you should protect that woman.
Chivalry.
And I'm sort of old-fashioned that way. I mean, yeah, don't we? He does overstep the mark, and you know, like when you said about enslaving a woman, and you know, you're more dominant than that. That's wrong. But I do like his values when he does say about being old-fashioned. But of course, we live in a world where some women like that, but some women don't like that. And I think this is where young men particularly get confused, because, like, you know, I'll open a door for a woman, but I'll open a door for a man as well. Mm-hmm. I won't just go, door go in his face. Mm. But like, some women might not like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, they might go, I can open a door by myself. Yeah, I know, but so can that guy.
Yeah.
So I like his old fashioned views in that sense. You know, where he's like, you know, a man should look after a woman, you know. And like, I'm old fashioned, where I think that I would put myself, you know, like before Aina, I feel like I should protect Aina because I'm the more dominant person because I'm a man. But that doesn't mean that we're not 50-50. We are 50-50. But I feel that I've got more of a right to protect her because I'm a man.
You should let her out of the house once in a while, though, Mike.
But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I see us as equal. I'm not saying I'm better than her, but I feel more responsible for Aina than because I'm a man. And I think that's where he comes from sometimes. But then he sort of takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Oh, a whole new
level. Yeah, of course.
I think,
get why I'm saying I'm with him on some of the things he's saying.
I do. I think it depends where your line is. That's the problem. Because a lot of times people like this, you know, throughout history, throughout ages and cults and stuff like that that are out there, the worrying thing is sometimes they hide behind the soft stuff. Yeah, so they might say 10 things that you could sit there and go, oh, yeah, I can see where he's coming from on that. I can see where he's coming from on that. To almost buy into that way. Trump's very good at it, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, telling you 10 things where you could sit there and go, oh, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think all that. And
but to do that is going to be illegal.
Yeah, but then to drop the one thing.
Yeah.
The one thing that actually harms people. The one thing that actually, you know, makes other people's lives misery or makes it illegal.
It's the driver behind all those other things, isn't it?
Exactly.
Insincere.
And that's the only thing that worries me about people like that, that they sit there and they go, do you know what? Is there anything wrong with, we'll use it as an example, a male holding a door open for a female? Absolutely not. Yes, it could be classed as a bit old-fashioned chivalry, but it's politeness. And at the end of the day,
absolutely.
If for me, and I'm sorry if this gets me shocked, because I know we do have a lot of female listeners, but if I opened a door for a female and said, for instance, ladies first, and that female took offence to that, then that's on her, not me. That's on her, not me.
Yeah.
I can't control that. It's politeness. It just is what it is. And that's on her. And the thing is while ever people like Dickhead Tate can sit there and say, well, what's wrong with holding a door open for a female? Not influential. What's the word I'm looking for? When you're easily persuaded on things, like kids, like...
Easily influenced.
Influenced. Susceptible. Kids, young men, they find it difficult to see the difference on the two things.
Yep.
You are a little bit older.
Really?
You're not a child. So therefore, you're not naive. So you can see the difference between the stuff that's acceptable to say and the stuff that's just not. But a 9, 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, if he sat there listening to someone like him saying, well, what's wrong with holding a door open for a female? That child is going to go, nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with offering to put your coat around a female's shoulders if she's cold? Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with making sure that the female's not on the side of the road when you're walking and that you're on there? Nothing wrong with that. Once they've bought into that mindset, then everything else he says to them is true.
Yeah.
And that's the danger.
I think what's worrying for me...
And then he starts saying things like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the woman being in the kitchen cooking. And are you so... It's like then...
Yeah, well,
then
he goes further. He goes further to a point of there's nothing wrong whether if you want sex, the opposite sex should give it to you.
Yeah, isn't there a video? No, yeah. Isn't there a video of him actually manhandling a woman? There is a video circulating the internet of him actually. It's his girlfriend at the time,
I know there's
I've got to be careful about chucking out accusations.
Yeah.
But there's a video online that purports to be him grabbing his girlfriend and manhandling around a bedroom. Makes me sick. Mm.
I know there's one thing that I have heard in the past that. It certainly wasn't defending him, but you'll know, or it's quite a common term of clipping footage. Do you know what that means?
Where you only see a part of a clip and it puts that person in a good light or a bad light, but you don't see the full.
Well, clipping footage is just technically taking a longer video and making a clip out of it for TikTok, essentially, right?
With no context.
With no context. And Andrew Tate's content is the most clipped content in the world. And what it does is it has this ability to take what he's already saying, which isn't particularly great, but making it even worse. For instance, using an example you were talking about earlier, which was holding a door open. So, for instance, he might have said, so, you know, if you hold the door open for a woman and then you keep that door open for the man and they don't like it, smash the door in his face or smash the door in their face. Mm-hmm. And someone clips that and removes the man part. So you open the door open for a woman and they don't like it. Smash the door in the face. Mm. So what he's actually just... He was saying, smash the door in the guy's face. And now he's said, smash the woman's door in the woman's face. And it was clipped. By the way, I'm not saying that wasn't an example at all of any way stretch. But this is happening quite a lot not just his content, a lot. And so, again... I'm just using Andrew Tate as an example of kids are not only hearing stuff from him that's taken out of context, and his stuff is already very bad, but even people that aren't saying such bad things, he's being clipped to make it sound in a bad way, and they're influential people that they're clipping this content. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could say it about Mr. Beast. He might have said something, and it was a complete innocent statement, but by the time it's clipped, it portrays him saying something awful. Do you know what I mean? And these kids are listening to it, and these Mr. Beast would be mortified if he knew.
Sorry, I were losing track then of what you were getting at, but yeah. I think I get what you're getting at. What you're saying is you're not necessarily sticking up for them and feeling sorry for them. What you're saying is that bad content that's being fed to children is being amplified even more.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, the worrying thing for me is, and I know, granted, it's dramatised, but the reality of so many things that our kids have got access to online, and you know, we've no idea. You know, you can put controls in. Did kids find ways around them? Kids will know more about how to get round things that we put blocks in for. And do you know what I mean? And it's, but it's when he, obviously there's an awful lot of home truths that come out in the program from Stephen Graham. As his dad, you know.
Don't give anything away,
no,
you.
I'm not. But there's some home truths when he goes, oh, was any of this my fault? You know. And I suppose, moving away from that, there is the risk that you might have got a kid that you're trying to bring up as well as you possibly can, but you get home from work, you know, they get home from school, you have something to eat, they go upstairs then for us at night, they're on the phone, they're on the laptop, Xbox, whatever, listening to chatter in the headsets, and whatever you're teaching them throughout the day could be getting rewritten in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So you've got all the best intentions to bring these kids up in a particular way, and you know, someone else is preaching them, you know, well, infinite number of people across the world at the same time, and so they're all part of a movement, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the thing where they talk about this pro-masculine movement, anti-feminism movement, if you like, because it's almost wanting to push women back to the dark ages, as it were, you know, but back probably to the 70s, 60s or whatever, when women weren't of equal standing. Mm-hmm. And that's the worrying thing for me, is that we don't know some of the stuff that's happening. We see the content that gets made up, goes onto TV, you know, that on the news, or Andrew Tate's been arrested for this and whatever, but you don't know how many clips your son, your daughter's watched, or their friends watched at school, and it's just... It's a cesspit, isn't it? Mm.
Did any of you see a Channel 4, I think it was a Channel 4, with something, Matt Willis and his partner? It was on about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. And it was about...
Yes.
Talking about the influence that... It talked about a mother who... A son committed suicide.
Yeah,
he hung himself, didn't he?
He was in tears, wasn't he, at the end, Matt Willis?
Yeah.
Matt and Emma, wasn't it?
They did a test where they gave them two brand new phones. Didn't matter whether they were iPhones or something.
I think I watched this. I'm not sure.
Brand new phones with brand new TikTok accounts generated as children's phones, as children's accounts. And it basically... They just had to scroll through and just look at content and see how much, what would you call it?
Unsuitable
content
came up.
And it was, they were both gobsmacked. In a matter of 15 minutes, they'd got content, and they had to leave the phone so long, didn't they, to allow the algorithm to read, then go back on and look at more. And they were pausing on stuff that were really bad to allow the algorithm to some degree to witness what they were seeing, and then they'd move on a little bit more. And before I think it was a few hours, the entire phone was filled with unsuitable content.
Well, that leads me on to a good point. So I know we're talking about Andrew Tate here, and is he a good thing, is he a bad thing? And, you know, I know on the whole he's a bad thing. However, for me personally... It's a bigger... And I know we've spoke about this in previous podcasts. For me, it's a much bigger picture. It's a much bigger problem than just one person. And I know there's other people on the internet that are spouting crap out as well. But for me, it's literally the social media companies. It's them who I ultimately is causing the problem. Because as you just said, and if you said about this documentary, it's social media. So if you get rid of your Andrew Tate's, the problem don't go away.
No.
You know, there's problems all over the place. We can talk about, you know, gambling, you know, drugs, you know, suicide, self-harming. You know, there's a lot... The internet is the problem here. And it's one of those things as how, and I know governments around the world are desperately trying to, you know, Australia, and I know we talked about this in a previous podcast, you know, are bringing in this ban. So I think it's social media companies that for me, the buck stops ultimately with them. Because, and I don't know what you guys feel about this, but it's their platform.
Yeah.
And if you look at television, for example, and I know I've made this point before, but you're not going to get this sort of level of crap, if you like, on TV. TV's regulated so much. You know, so we've got this high regulation. You know, even newspapers to some degree. I mean, I know they run fake stuff, but you don't get Andrew Tate's advertising newspaper. But your TV particularly is, you know, we've talked about this watershed. But internet is a complete wild west.
Yeah, but it's like you said, there is no control in it.
No, there isn't.
There's too much money in it for starters.
Well, it's not just that. It's yes, there has to be better controls because there are things that they can use to screen content more widely. Mm-hmm. But you've only got to look at this episode that we're recording now.
Yeah.
We're putting this on the internet.
Yeah.
We could be spouting whatever, couldn't we?
Well, yeah.
There needs to be something that can scan this and say, actually, what they're saying there is harmful. Someone's going to take that literally.
There's two things here. I mean, Kirk, you're right. Yeah, I mean, can it be done? Not easily. However, these big, we're talking big companies here. We're talking about, you know, Google. We're talking about, you know, Amazon, you know, Apple. These are multi-million pound companies.
And the rest.
And the rest. But they could solve this problem if they put their hands in the pockets. And it's the ultimately, I don't think governments will only skirt around the issue, but they're never going to do it. Because it's about money. But they could solve, I think they could resolve it.
What would life look like if they just turned off social media? As in, they just said, they're not going to exist anymore, we're getting rid of everything, which it's illegal. Social media platforms are illegal. But how wonderful would that be? It would be amazing.
There'd just
be
loads
it?
Of people stood in just street, literally. Like showing you the dinner.
Walking around with photographs of the dinner. That's what I had for tea last night. But how amazing would it be? I honestly, genuinely am starting to think that life would be better if we just turned them off. And I mean everything. Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, anything that means you can socialise online. Get rid of it.
I mean,
the only way you can socialise is by making a phone call with your friend.
I mean,
that's the only way.
Just as a disclaimer, I'm not saying social media is a bad thing. I'm just saying that there's bad things to it. Like everything that comes out, there's good things and bad things to everything in life, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? Like driving's a good thing. We get about, but people die in car accidents. But I'm not saying ban driving.
Yeah.
But it's regulated to some degree. We have limits. You know, you can't drink driving. Okay, don't stop people doing it. But it's regulated. The internet's not regulated. It's just do what you want, say what you want, put out what you want.
So, but how would it affect you if they did, literally? So for good and bad, we can't regulate it. We can't do it. Can't do it. So actually, we just get rid of it because you don't need it. None of us need it.
The internet?
No. Social media.
Oh, social media.
Any social media platform that allows you to share photos.
I'm going
to
say, where's the line then? So you're talking about getting rid of messaging, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp's just...
YouTube.
WhatsApp is just a text message service.
It is until you create a group and they just keep inviting loads and loads and loads of people. Yeah. You end up with your own...
I would say that out of that I know of with my kids, the majority of problems around whether it be bullying or whether it be anything like that has come through either WhatsApp groups or Snapchat groups.
Snapchat's the one because it deletes itself.
I don't even know how anyone can defend the
ethos behind that of, we're going to create something where you write it then it disappears.
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
Well, you can have group chats on it.
Well, you know why it's there, because they don't want people to see the messages. Create that?
All right then. So strip it back. Remove the group function. I mean, we'd be screwed, but it'd be a marvellous thing. Remove the group function of messaging apps. So yeah, I can message you, but if we want to tell the person, either you've got to go. Are you telling them or am I telling them?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but why can't you have a group thing? Because obviously you've got to be invited in.
No, the thing is with certain groups, you're added into them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just remove that function so you can't add them in.
Yeah.
You've got to add yourself.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying.
Getting a bit techie now.
Yeah, but we're already talking now. We're only talking about WhatsApp.
One thing that worried... No. didn't really worry me, but bothered me a little bit. And it might have been a thing me thinking, crikey, I'm getting old here. It's when I thought I understood certain things, and it turns out that there are other meanings for certain things that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
You've got an example for us, haven't you, Mark? So,
well, yeah. Apparently some of these emojis that we use them for one thing, and kids are using them and they mean something completely different.
Well, that's what I said earlier. That's what I meant about the whole
hearts
and everything. Well, and this conversation that kids are having, and it's literally like sign language to someone who doesn't do and sign language.
Apparently, do you know about the full stop?
No.
If you use a full stop, if you like messaging a kid, if you like, the full stop is almost passive aggressive, because it's almost saying, "That's the end."
Really?
Right.
Okay.
It's almost like saying, "Right, I've told you enough. That is it." It's almost like doing that at the end. Yeah. The full stop is that.
Wow. Really?
What's all that about?
Well, listen, we're moving into. Listen, I hear what you're saying. I'm sure it's true, but we're moving into a realm of snowflakes. You know, and people they need to get a grip.
No, it's not. It's where we think we understand, but it's moved on.
Yeah, but they've hijacked the full stop and going right. We're going to use it for something else.
Yeah, but what I think Mark's saying. I'm sorry if you're not, but what I think what Mark's saying is that if you're looking at it through parents' eyes, for instance.
Yeah, but they didn't invent the full stop, did they?
No. Forget about the full stop, Mark.
Using full stop, that's it.
What we're saying is, all right, don't be passive aggressive. What we're saying, what I believe Mark was getting to, and what is the fact
I could
of,
say it myself.
Okay, go on.
No, carry on.
Full stop.
Is when, how are we supposed to monitor it?
Yeah,
it's our job or whatever to protect our children. And I don't know about you, Mark. So I know you've got a daughter similar age to my kids. Is, you know, I think I was halfway through episode 3 or something like that of Adolescence, and I paused it, and I called the kids, like together, to ask them
what a full stop were.
Whether they'd ever heard of incel, whether they've ever heard of this and that and the other and stuff, because I wanted to know what their exposure were.
Okay.
Now, yes, I had to rely on that they're going to tell me the truth or whatever, but I feel as though I do have quite an open can dialogue with the kids.
Can we ask what they said, or do you love
you like fast forwarding, you do, don't you?
but he's not going to. He's going to skip over that, ain't he?
I don't know yet. I hadn't decided myself.
Okay, well, just carry on then. I'm sorry.
Full stop.
In all fairness, I only asked my middle child and my youngest, Scarlett, the eldest. She'd already watched Adolescence, so therefore, you know, she'd already got this inside thing to it. So I wanted to try and capture the other two to kind of say, you know, just throw questions at them to try and get a nice answer. Now, luckily, they both said they had no idea. They had no idea what that meant. They had no idea what I was talking about. And obviously the main thing for me regarding the topic of the programme was mainly Noah. You know, he's 11 years old, nearly 12 years old, you know, male, influential age. And that's what I'm saying is, what I took from what Mark was saying is the full stop is irrelevant. It's about the fact of that we could be looking at a message or a dialogue between the kids in a group setting or whatever and think there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Because the way that we interpret it. Rob corrected me. How we interpret is how we use that grammar or emojis or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore we look at it and go, Nothing wrong with it.
A fine example would be if you saw a text message that had a water pistol and a skull, you'd be like, oh my gosh, right, that's bad. This is pretending they're going to shoot someone and someone's going to die. Or an eggplant and a peach, you're thinking they're very healthy, right? But whereas if you, you know, what.
It's funny that Mark still sat there going, why? What's that mean?
Whereas you see.
Yeah, not me, by the way, listeners.
Whereas you see. A purple heart and a rocket going off, well, we probably wouldn't have thought anything of it, but to them it might mean I'm really horny, I want to have an orgasm. Yep. And I'm not saying that's what it means, because I don't know, but It's that sort of thing that we wouldn't even enter our heads that's what they're saying.
That's true, but they're emojis. You know, so people could take different...
But what I'm saying is kids, that's how kids now, that's how they're communicating.
Yeah, which is fine, because it's an emoji, but a full stop is a full stop.
You really should have used a full stop as an example, Mark.
We're not arguing the full stop thing.
But they've hijacked it.
Will you shove that full stop up your semicolon?
Right, yes, they have hijacked it, Mark, and it's a terrible thing, and we'll tell them to stop it.
What we're getting at is
just these conversations that are happening between kids and you as a parent reading it one way, yep. And actually there's something way more sinister actually being said or communicated in that message, and it's beyond you, it's over your head. Mm. You think everything's fine, but actually it's not fine. They are actually being bullied, you're right, but
this is all because of social media. Because they wouldn't be able to do it, because in our days before social media, you know, you could only do it in your small group. You couldn't be sending messages to hundreds of thousands of people on a group chat.
All right, but my question is this then, Mark, right? It's not going to happen. Social media is not going to be regulated. It's not going to be switched off. It might be more regulated over the years, but they'll find ways around it, and they'll find, you know, this and other. So it's not. So my thing is if it's something that we have got to live with, and we've literally got kids being killed, bullied to a point where they're committing suicide, or young girls being raped, what can we do about it? As parents or as adults or whatever. Social media, it's all right sitting here going, well, it's social media's fault, it needs to be switched off. It's not going to be.
Mm.
So what I'm asking, you know, when we've watched this programme, we've seen it, we've seen the dangers that of it, you know, and we understand that it's real and it's out there. What can we do about it?
Well, first of all, I'm going to disagree with what you're saying, because I think that at some stage there will be... Social media will get to a point where it'll get... Yes, there's always ways and means around everything, but I think something has to be done with social media worldwide.
I agree with you, something has to be done. It's not going to be.
Well, I think it will.
There's too much money. I'm sorry. There is too much money involved.
No, so I think something will happen to it eventually, because we can't carry on as a society.
People are already dead. Kids are already dead because of social media.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any worse than that. And if kids kids are already dead because of social media and they've done nothing about it, then they never will.
Yeah, but things are all with social media, things are being done over time. It's just a very slow process. So when you say nothing will ever be done, nothing will be done not in our lifetime, but will social media, as it stands right now, be exactly like it is, say, in 40, 50 years' time? Absolutely.
It'll evolve into something different, won't it?
Absolutely not.
I think that the things for me are, well, part of what we've got to be is obviously awareness is massive, isn't it? Being aware of what they could be exposed to. And if they are going to be exposed to it, because let's be honest, if they're going to be exposed to it, they're going to be exposed to it. You're not going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
What we've got to do is we've got to counter-educate that, to challenge what it, you know... I think we'd like to think that just our natural parenting skills means that the kids will, if they do see something, they'll know that it's wrong, and they won't, you know...
True, but I don't think we can keep up with it.
You're right. This is what I'm coming to. So there is an element of where we've got to be, or we've got to have the conversation. We've got to do our best to, you know, almost, do the best by our kids, which we want to do. There's always going to be things that slip through the net. I mean, you look at that guy who's just, he's just been charged, hasn't he? He killed his ex-girlfriend,
with crossbow.
Her sister, his
her
mum.
Yes,
shot himself.
He's not listening.
I am. And they've found evidence that he'd been watching Andrew Tate videos prior to all that happening. You know, that guy, what would he have been? 18, 19? Maybe a bit older?
I don't know.
Oh, the lad that... He was
about 26,
weren't he?
He was
in the army.
When he did it?
Yeah, when he did it.
He was about 26.
Right, okay. But you're talking... you know, you've lost control. He's made that informed decision as an adult. So there is always going to be things out there that you know, people are going to be influenced by some material. How you go around stopping that, I don't know. But as looking at the young kid in the adolescents, is we've got to be counter-educating our kids, and you know, it's...
Did you ask Darcy about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the post, didn't I, on Facebook. And I've never, if I'm honest, and this is... That's what worried me the most when I put it on group and said, you guys need to watch this. I was, you know, watching it, and I was like thinking, crikey. I know that Darcy's on, obviously, TikTok and everything else. What is she, seeing, you know? And so I asked her, and I said, look, have you heard of Andrew Tate? She went, yeah. I said, have you seen any of his content online? Yeah, I don't like him. I was like, and obviously I took a bit... granted, she's not going to be influenced by him, I don't think, although some women might be, because some women might want to be...
fit into that mould.
Of what he's expecting them to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was quite... relieved, I suppose, is probably a strong word, because at this point, I didn't really know what to expect or even what I wanted to expect. But what did worry me was, I said, do you know any of your male friends or whatever? Do they watch it? And she said, well, watch it or act like what he would... promote.
Did you talk this cryptive when you were asking her? Or?
I'm getting struggling.
It sounded like me.
I know. I'm struggling because I'm thinking through the conversation as we had it. And she said at the school that she's at UTC, sports college, and she says there, you know, she's not come into contact with anybody that talks about Andrew Tate in a positive way, or you know, goes around talking about this red pill, incel, or all that sort of stuff. However, she said at a previous school, which I won't name, there were loads. That's worrying, because they did and behaved and said things off the back of what Andrew Tate would promote, which is, that is worrying, because, you know, she's 14.
You know?
And so knowing these kids that at that age, bearing in mind she's not been at that school now for over a year, so that she would have been 12, 13, kids are being influenced by him in a negative way. And parents probably haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
Right.
Until it's too late.
Yeah.
Because we're too many steps behind. I mean, it's almost like, I know I'm raising a social media thing, but you're right in the sense, as a society, as parents, we need to do something. But it's like keeping up with, it's only like criminals, you know, the law tries to keep up with it, and then criminals find another way, and criminals are one step ahead. So whatever we do, I'm not saying we shouldn't, of course we can all, we must do what we can, but there's no way we can get that step out front of social media.
I think where it starts, and I don't want to be over the top, with this, because we've covered this in a previous episode, you know, when we talk about parents, they have young kids, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, they give them a phone, and it's almost like a, you know, to shut them up. Yeah. That'll keep them busy. Yeah. I can go on about doing what I'm doing. They can play with phone. And kids grow up knowing how to use their mobile phones, don't they? But it's great if you're going to do that, great. But however, you've got to make sure that you hold them through the process. You can't, you know, we've all done it. You know, they go up to the room after school and they're up there all night.
Yeah.
That's it. And then they get up the next morning, they go to school, they come back home, they're exposed to all that. It's how much do we do to bring that pendulum swinging back the other way?
Something I was going to say literally minutes ago, but you've walked straight into it. It's perfect. recently, I can't remember which platform it was, but they raised the age at which you can use the platform. Was it in Instagram?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
So what my point is, why don't
that's
they...
in. Is that it's either in Australia or in France?
Oh yes, it's right. It's in a country. It might be Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be Australia. Have increased the age for a certain platform.
It's either to 16 or to 18.
But what? Why not? Why not have it where social media accounts are banned until you're 21?
money.
Well, that's what they're talking about trying to enforce into is trying to put an age.
And I know you keep coming back to money, Kirk, and it's a mass. It is let's face it, it's the be all and end all. It is,
but that's the answer to it all. Yeah. It's all right us sitting here as parents, concerned parents, you know, sometimes sensible thinking adults or whatever, and go, why don't they just make it 21 and why don't they make it so they've got to, you know, put the driving license on as ID, and why don't they do this, and why do they have no desire to do that.
Listen, I get it. It is money. Of course, we all know that, but something has to give. It's like smoking. Smoking.
Yeah.
Right? They used to make, but eventually it's come to that point where smoking.
And what have they replaced it with?
Well, vaping.
Right then. Which is making them more money than what tobacco was.
Yeah, but at least, but as far,
so it's irrelevant. They don't care. Yeah, tobacconists now and cigarette companies now don't care if cigarettes were banned forever. They don't care because they're now making double the amount of money on vapes. So they don't care.
Yeah, but listen, I get it. But the point is with that is that even now, vaping, you know, laws are going to be coming in years, you know, getting rid of disposable vapes.
There'll be something else.
Yeah,
They will put controls in place on social media. They just will.
It will be tough.
They will. They're doing it in certain countries. We will follow suit. There will be ways around it.
It'll be a long time.
And, however,
content, but it will happen. Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah,
sorry.
And I think it'll happen a little bit quicker than what you're perhaps purporting to. It will happen. To what extent? You know, let's wait and see.
It'll be a slow burn. It'll be a very slow burn. It'll take years, but I
genuinely think, and it is only my opinion, right? Do I think that they'll try and put restrictions on it? Yes. Do I think that they might try and control it? Yes. To show that that's what they're trying to do. Okay, but do I think that every single aspect of it will be a weak-ass checkbox exercise?
Yes.
Yes. So it becomes irrelevant. You know, we turn around and say, right, well, you can't have a Facebook account until you're 14. Or you can't have a TikTok account until you're 14.
I mean, you should be 16 anyway.
That's a law and that's a restriction that's in place now.
Yeah, but...
Does it stop anyone? No.
No, it doesn't. But because Facebook don't care. But that's the point. Facebook should be clamping down on that.
But they won't.
But governments are too scared to do anything about it.
It's not about being too scared. It's about the money that's involved in it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. The end of the day, right, I could pick up my phone now and I can go on, let's say, a well-known pornography site. Okay?
Do you know any? I'm asking for a friend. I'm asking for Rob and Mark. Mark.
So we all know you're on the table, Bob and Mark, right?
Yes,
Rob. And it comes up, you go to it, and it asks you the first question. What does it ask you?
Are you over 18?
Depends which phone you're on.
Are you over 18? What do you have to do for that?
Just click yes.
Just click yes. Okay. That is so they have the disclaimer of saying, we asked the question. Asked the question.
Has anyone clicked no?
No.
See what it does?
I've never been on it, Rob. I've no idea.
I click no all the time because I don't want to go. That's disgusting. I click no.
Facial recognition will take over for Mark and say, oh, you kidding?
Other Mark, what does it say when you click no?
That's all he clicks now.
But what I'm saying is that is their effort. Now, actually, I've probably used the wrong example because I do know that it is changing going forward where you... Sites like that, you have to show, you have to prove ID and upload ID and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is that social media, you said it earlier, the genie is out the bottle. There's far too much business linked to it. There's far too much money invested in it. There's people, literally, they earn their entire livelihoods. Can you imagine if they shut down YouTube and TikTok tomorrow? Mm. Imagine how many people we are at a job. Mm. Worldwide,
they'd have to get a proper job, wouldn't they?
I don't even see YouTube as social media, if I'm honest.
Well, you wouldn't do because you like YouTube.
No, but it's a video platform.
It's social media, Rob. People post content, share content, talk to each other, link with each other.
Yeah, so social media, the social element of it, the chat element, the bit where you can comment. Turn that off for me. I don't care less about that. But the content...
Was that because you're not getting any comments on your content?
absolutely. It's pointless been turned on. But that element of it, I'm not bothered for. It's the video. If you're turning YouTube, you say you've got to get rid of Netflix. because it's the same thing. If you turn off the comments, it's the same thing.
You can't post things on Netflix.
No, but you can. No, it's just not us posting it. It's 20th Century Fox and Disney, and they're posting it.
Well, Rob, listen, we're talking about civilization being able to share things. Their own opinions, so things like 20th Century Fox, Disney, whatever, they are regulated.
Right, okay.
And they can only post...
I get what you're saying.
What we're talking about is can post something.
Yeah, but I think social media, I always saw it was a platform where you can exchange conversations. Basically, I just thought it was Facebook. Social media is pretty much Facebook. Instagram, it's a variation of it, but the main one is just Facebook. You can do...
None of the kids use Facebook anymore.
No. Well, I suppose
Snapchat, TikTok, yeah.
WhatsApp.
Yeah, I get them, they're not a video platform that you go on and you watch a video. But I do understand that people can give opinions. But that's okay, because people can't join the conversation. It's not a conversation. It's just a person putting their thing on there. Do you get what I mean?
I think you are stretching some of the words to match your ideology on the fact that you're a big fan of YouTube.
Right, okay.
Because at the end of the day, yes, it's video sharing, yes, it's content creation, and yes, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that's completely harmless and stuff like that. However, is Andrew Tate on YouTube? Will there be videos shared on YouTube of Andrew Tate? Absolutely. Yeah. Will there be videos of despicable content on YouTube? Yes.
But that could quite easily be just removed.
But it hasn't been, has it?
It hasn't been, has it? No.
So no. That's it. That's it.
It's a difficult question to answer. Yeah. it's a difficult question to answer because can it be removed? Yes. Yeah. Does it take 24 hours? Yes. But 24 hours, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously, when the difficult ones are when they're hiding in episodes of Peppa Pig and they're talking about Andrew Tate in Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
That's the difficult things.
Yeah.
If it's found, it will be removed.
Yeah.
Where it's the open dialogue of conversations
I'm saying is there is no desire from them companies to find them and remove them.
No.
So they will do their bit to show that they're doing their bit. Mm. They will react to something that's major so they can show that they're being responsible. But as far as they're concerned, if they've got a video going viral, whether it be on TikTok, whether it be on YouTube, whatever it is, if that's going viral and more people are joining their platform, then as far as they're concerned, oh yeah, we'll take it down. It's going to take 24 hours.
Listen,
bugger off. Press a button and that's it.
I get you, Kurt, but it needs to stop. These companies need to take responsibility and governments need to be stepping in and doing something about it. We can't, because we're going down this social avenue, social road of it's just going to be, anarchy. People's going to be running around doing what they want.
Can I ask you a question?
Has to stop.
Lighten the mood. Could
I thought this was going to be a really light episode, you know.
Could you get rid of all your social media apps? And what do you think, what effect would it have on you if you did? I've never thought of this, but since we're talking about it, it's played on my mind.
I have at times wished that it would happen remotely.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
To make the decision for you.
Yeah, because, and I have. I've deleted Facebook before, and I've gone, I'm not going on Facebook. And I've had it, for weeks or whatever, and then you get to a point and I think, I wonder if anyone's selling one of these on Marketplace.
if Mark could just have the Marketplace app.
Yeah. And then... Marketplace, then you see a notification, then you look at it and you go, ooh, in you go, you're back in again.
Yeah.
And then it's like, because people live their lives on it, everything that anyone does, you only see it on there. Nobody comes knocking on your door and go, oh, do you want to have a look at all these photos of my new puppy?
Yeah.
I think that's the key. Sorry, Rob, but I think that's the key, what Mark's just said, because my answer would be, I don't utilise social media for socializing. I don't use it that way. So yes, I use messaging, I use WhatsApp. That's what I use to socialize.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, because I've removed Facebook before because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what you find, exactly like you've just said there, Mark, where someone's talking about something and I go, oh, what are you on about?
Yeah. It's the fear of missing out.
Well, it's not just the fear of missing out. It's the actual missing out where someone goes, what are you talking about? Oh, I put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
I suppose I refer
you don't,
to
you when, don't when have Facebook,
we,
do you?
And so. When would we ever know when anyone's birthday is? Yeah.
and why I don't, because I'm not on Facebook. But yeah. I mean, I have a Facebook profile, which I obviously had to, again, I had to set up for all these groups. You know, you have your group where you live, in case anything's happening on the estate, and you've got a group for this course that you might have done. But actually, I don't have any followers. I've got no followers. I don't follow anybody because I'm completely removed from that. But my one is probably more Instagram, that I follow people. People follow me, and I keep track of what people are up to and stuff on there. But for me, it's as you guys have said, if everybody was forced to come off it, then I'm not missing out. I'm not losing out on anything.
I tell you what, you'd see loads of pubs starting reopening. Wouldn't you?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. This is kind of where I was kind of going with it. Is what would it do to society if we were able to get rid of them?
Yeah.
What would it do? Mm-hmm. And how do
Make
I
it
feel
a better
like
place.
Coming? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'd have to start teaching people how to socialise first.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is partly to do with this whole thing, and that young boys don't know how to socialise.
Yeah. Time at the bar, please.
Have you ever rung on one of your kids?
Well, yes, I have, and actually...
Is it awkward?
You're asking the wrong person, because actually my kids do actually spend a lot of time on the phone, whether that be audio or mainly FaceTime.
Right.
But I get where you were coming from on it, but probably wrong person to ask, because my middle daughter, she has her phone on auto answer.
So it just answers when somebody rings her?
Yeah, rings and it just answers.
Right.
The amount of times I've rang her and I'm listening to her conversation between her and a mate, you know. So
why is that? Is that even a thing?
Huh?
How is that even a thing?
Yeah.
That goes against all privacy things.
Yeah. Well, you can turn it on. You can turn it on and off.
I'll sometimes ring Darcy and she'll go, "Hello."
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, so yeah. I literally go, right.
Don't worry, I'm not actually in your phone. It's my voice coming through the phone.
Yeah.
Mark just leaves his phone here. Mark just puts his phone outside and runs up to the toilet, goes to Ellen and goes, "Ring my phone." And he just sat there. His phone will automatically answer, and we're sat here having a conversation.
Yeah.
I think that shouldn't even be allowed.
Would you like me to tell you the reason why she has it on her to answer?
Yeah, please.
She has a boyfriend. She has a long-term boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they ring each other at night, and they'll talk to each other laid in bed to go to sleep. And I said, when I found out...
Who's this?
Me.
Me? Long-term? How old is she?
Well, she's nearly 14.
All right.
I think it's been going on...
But you said long-term as if it's like 20 years.
How long should we be going out with?
For them, at that age, I think they've been going out nearly a year.
Yeah, that's long-term for them.
Right. Long time for them.
Yeah, and for their age.
When I found out she got this auto answer on, I said to her, why? I didn't even know it was a thing. And B, why would you want to do that? And her answer was, well, when me and my boyfriend are on the phone, I might fall asleep. And I'm like, well, yes, because you're in bed and it's bedtime.
And he wakes her up.
Go to sleep. So then what it means is if I fall asleep and the phone signal dies or the phone drops out, it means that my boyfriend can ring me and my phone will answer without me having to wake up to answer it.
But she's asleep.
I know.
So he wakes her up.
He doesn't wake her up.
No, he just sits and listens to her sleeping.
I'm going to say it so he can hear her, like, snoring or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and what's the benefit of that? That's just what they do.
Yeah.
Society's gone weird.
I find that getting into realms of...
A little bit weird.
Well, weird. Yeah. Because, I don't know. Do you start getting to the realms of, I've turned off my auto ring. Why have you turned off the auto ring? What are you hiding?
Does it answer without ringing at all?
So
doesn't ring once? So
if I was...
We're getting too into this, aren't we?
So if I was to ring Mimi now, it would ring once.
Right.
And then answer.
Right, okay.
And does she have that set for all calls?
All calls. So the amount of times when me, or sometimes it's funny, I was downstairs at my
house. That's dangerous.
I was downstairs in my house the other day, and Daisy was upstairs. And as I was walking up the stairs, all I could hear was Daisy going, "Mimi, Mimi, hello, Mimi." And then we heard one of Mimi's friends going, "I think your phone's on, Mimi. I can hear a voice coming out of your phone." And then this, "Oh, hello, hello." And literally Daisy had rang her and it had answered. She was on the bus, it had answered. And literally Daisy's trying to get her attention. I'm going, "Mimi, Mimi." And I'm like,
Wow.
Well, that you heard it right here. That's going to catch her out one day.
Yeah.
And it might be you on the other end of the phone, Kirk.
Yeah, well, and you might be hearing things you don't want to hear.
I don't ring her.
You just text her instead.
Good answer.
Can I call you? And then,
yeah, absolutely.
Is it...
Darcy's got her phone on auto-reject.
Yeah. just for you.
Just for you.
Just for me, yeah.
Shall we spin the wheel of pages?
Try ringing her and you get a text message. What's up? Answer your bloody phone.
Yes, Rob. Let's.
Yeah, shall let's we? Spin
absolutely.
It.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be? Oh, this is so exciting.
Come on.
He's nearly there. The Wheel of Features. So I've got last week's AI jukebox jam to go through.
Oh, okay. Remembered this time, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Can you actually remember to do the right one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
good
mix
point.
It up.
Yeah. Good point. Are you ready for last week's then? So it was something reflects on the struggles, regrets, and consequences of a life immersed in crime, poverty, and survival, questioning its worth.
Now, I think I said, did I say smooth criminal?
Yes,
you did.
You did.
And I'm right. So can we move on?
You wish.
Well, I thought it was. I did think it was a good guess.
I thought it was.
What I was a bit confused about was the poverty bit.
Mm.
That didn't seem to match Smooth Criminal.
Well, he's not well off, you know, Michael Jackson. He was a bit skinned. So that's probably why.
Sorry, Rob, just read it one more time.
Okay. Something reflects on the struggles, regrets, and consequences of a life immersed in crime, poverty, and survival, questioning its worth. It's the first time I managed to say questioning right.
Mm. Yeah. I had a guess at Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves, but that doesn't sit.
Oh, yeah.
So I... and do you know something?
I know, and we
were doing this now, and I've had all this time to think of another answer, and I've not thought of one. but I'm going to kick myself, I think, when you say it.
I reckon you all will. Any ideas, Kirk?
No, mate.
If I said... I've been living most my life.
Gangster's Paradise.
Correct.
No, I would never have guessed that.
I wouldn't.
No.
It makes sense, though,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you get to it, Gangster's Paradise. Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
I think that was on now 26. Ooh. I think it was disc 2, track 2.
Ooh.
1997?
Possibly.
No. Yeah. They were around about that. Yeah,
go on.
Mark knows.
Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, he don't. He's guessing.
No, he's good at this.
I think it was 90.
I'm gonna say.
Hold on. Well, I know where I lived. So just
Coolio featuring LV, wasn't it?
Mm. LV.
Cool J,
yeah.
LV. Oh. No.
I'm going to say it was 95.
It was, okay. it was, yeah, 95, 96.
What are you going for?
I'm going 95.
I'm going to go 96.
What are you going for, Mark?
Mark.
What did I say, by the way, 97?
Hold on, I know where I lived when it was out, so just give me one second.
That's what I tried to do, but I didn't have
so
long
that,
enough
that
to,
made
to
me
think.
13. It made me 13, 12 13? Or 13. So
I went pub.
It was I lived in a pub. I'd have been 12 or 13, so that'd have been 1994 or 95.
It's 95.
Yeah.
You were bang on.
Yes.
So yeah, well done.
What, right. Which now did you say it was?
26, I think.
No.
22?
No. It would have been now. Let me think. I'm closing my eyes now while I just cast through the numbers. It would have been either now 29.
Oh, I don't think it would happen.
Or now 30.
It definitely started with a 2. Definitely started with a 2. Track 1, I think, was Mr. Vane.
Call him Mr. Rain.
Do we still have any listeners?
Mr. Wrong.
Oh, have they switched off at this stage?
They switched off when you started talking about social media again. Yeah, track one was Mr. Vane. Track 2 was Gangster's Paradise.
Full stop.
Track 3 was Shaggy, Bombastic. Mr. Lover. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going for either now 29 or now 30.
I don't know because I didn't have any now albums. Perhaps you two should go on You Bet. Go, I well, can name.
I used to be a lot better than what I am now. I've forgotten a lot.
Yeah.
What did you go for?
I was split between 29 and 30.
I said 26.
32.
Ah! That would... I'm sure it started with a 2.
No.
Are you sure?
It's what ChatGPT says.
Right.
Yeah, it will... Yeah.
So, shall we spin the wheel?
Yes. Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? Again!
Jukebox jam! Again!
Song downloading. Complete. Lyric analysis. Complete. AI jukebox jam, 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 jam,
jam, jam.
Connection lost.
Before you do that, I had a I was driving around the other day and I was trying to think of another feature, and I came up with one and I thought, has it got any legs or not? And it probably hadn't.
And then you thought, well, we do AI jukebox right. Jam, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, anyway, it'd be called Mispronounced Celebrities. So I'll let you do your AI jukebox jam in a minute, but it'd be called Mispronounced Celebrities. And then I thought, it wouldn't be much of a guessing thing, really. It'd just be more of a humorous thing. And so I thought, I'll have to come up with a couple of examples just to give you a feel for what it would be.
Yeah, because I don't
know. So it would be the Austrian Savoury Snack Finder. Arnold Pretzel Digger.
Okay.
Or the Belgian Junk Emailer. Jean-Claude spammed me mam.
I mean, yeah, we'd never guess them, would we?
No.
That's brilliant. Right, you know how this works anyway.
I think so. We did it last week.
We did it last week, yeah, so I'm not even going to do that. Right, okay. Something is about hiding true feelings and maintaining emotional control in love and relationships. Something is about hiding true feelings and maintaining emotional control in love and relationships.
Mm. Mm.
This isn't an easy one, just so you know.
Well, you haven't really given us much, have you, really? It's a bit...
Once more.
Something is about hiding true feelings and maintaining emotional control in love and relationships.
Can't you give us a bit of a clue, like, if it's a band or what decade or...?
Yeah, it's a female singer.
Okay. What decade
was that? She's still around now, but the song was probably from the previous decade, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. Definitely.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll reveal it next week. Have a great week, boys.
Okay.
Bye.
See you next
Thank
week.
You very much.
See you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.